Wait for it, wait for it. Welcome to the BerlinBrigade.com podcast with your host, David Guerra.
Hello and welcome to episode 31 of the BerlinBrigade.com podcast. As always, I am your host, David Guerra, former member of Alpha Company, 6th Battalion, 502nd Infantry, Berlin Brigade. And I want to thank you for taking the time to join me today on this, the greatest podcast exclusively dedicated to all that ever served and supported the mission of the United States Army's most illustrious and most prestigious unit, the Berlin Brigade. A great big BerlinBrigade.com thank you to those active duty military personnel listening around the world. Please keep up the good work, stay sharp, and of course, by all, always, please stay safe. So without any further delay, let's get episode 31 started.
It's time for the special announcements.
The first special announcement is a response to an email that recently came in. And specifically, the email asked why I replaced the at symbol with the open bracket, letter A, letter T, close bracket. Well, first off, to the individual who sent that email, thank you very much. Great question, and I've had several people ask, and so I guess I'll go ahead and answer it here today, now. A couple of years back, I was placing the entire email address, including the at symbol. However, we were starting to get spammed. What was happening is either some bot or some other program was out there and it was scouring the internet looking for email addresses to capture. Well, it started capturing all the BerlinBrigade.com email addresses and started spamming them. And, a good majority of them. I know I got some of that spam. And then so I went online trying to figure out what was the best course of action. And that was the best course of action, was just start replacing it. That way, bots will just skip over it. And I've changed it over the years. About once or twice a year, I'll go in there and I'll change the formatting. Right now, it's in a bracket, letter A, letter T, close bracket, like I said. And what I'll do is I'll go ahead and change that up and I'll do like an open parentheses, the letters AT, close parentheses, or close bracket. And I'll switch them around, just kind of make things a little difficult for those web bots or programs out there that are looking for this data, looking for valid email addresses. Now, I could also go ahead and just start creating locking, could go ahead and start securing pages. But I don't want to go that route. Other organizations have gone that route, and that's fine. I'd let them, and they've had their reasons, and I'm not here to criticize those reasons. And what I am here to say is that BerlinBrigade.com will not be blocking or locking pages at this time. Now, it's not to say that as things start changing or things happen in the future, something else will happen. But just in an effort to ensure that we're at least doing as best as we can to prevent spamming, I'm going to go ahead and continue adding those symbols in between the email address and removing that at symbol. So again, thanks for the email, and I hope that answers your question. And again, as always, folks, if you've got any questions, drop me a note. Dave at BerlinBrigade.com. That's D-A-V-E at BerlinBrigade.com. Drop me a comment, question, and you know what? It's good. It'll come on here, and we'll get it on here. We'll share it with everybody. Now let's move on. Let's continue. Now, a real special treat for everyone. If you've been following the BerlinBrigade.com podcast from the beginning, you'll remember that in episodes 17 and 18, we were joined by Ray Williams, Mike Broadway, John Bolden, and Jackie Dunn as they shared with us the incredible story of how three soldiers from Combat Support Company, 6th Battalion, 502nd Infantry, executed a plan to bring an East German East Berliner, actually, across the Berlin Wall and to freedom. Well, John Bolden is in the process of putting that story to paper and is well on his way towards completing the book that was born of that single event in the summer of 1986. And last week, he dropped us a call on the BerlinBrigade.com hotline and left a brief update on the book. So tell you what, here's John's message.
Good day, Berlin Brigade soldiers and fans. This is John A. Bolden, author of the soon-to-be-released book On Eagle's Wings, The Secret Crossing. A true story of a successful Berlin Wall escape that happened in August of 1986, where three American soldiers aided in the escape of an East Berlin woman into West Berlin while she was hidden under the backseat of a van while going through Checkpoint Charlie. The story is filled with a series of events that happened before, during, and after the escape. The dedication and courage of everyone involved, intentionally and unintentionally, is astounding. You will read about how the escape was planned, how it was executed, and the aftermath of the escape once it was discovered on the west side of Berlin. Here is a small excerpt from the book. The tour bus parked on the street next to a government building, which was later described as the Reichstag building. It was built to house the German parliament. It was an impressive piece of architecture. What stood to grab one's attention was a scripture embedded at the top of the entrance, Dem Deutschen Volke, to the German people. Touring the building, some parts of it had been closed off to general public access as it was close to the Berlin Wall. Walking along a second floor corridor, the tour guide placed everyone's attention to the floor below them. As you looked down, you could see a round room with many chairs surrounded in a circle. It was explained that no one was to enter that room until Germany was reunited. The West Germans dreamed of the day when this would happen, and their hopes ran high that they will be together with their countrymen once again to build a great nation. A free society where likes and dislikes come together to make decisions that are forged from the words and actions of each individual, voted by a majority to be their voice, to come to an agreement that what they have decided will best serve the people of their country. What an honor this would be for a soldier who was part of this if it should ever happen, to be part of bringing together a country with the same ideals and belief systems as his own country. The pride and glory one must feel from this, should it ever come true, would be worth fighting to defend it. The purpose of one's life is measured by the accomplishments, no matter how small or great those accomplishments may be. It is all part of a series of events that leads to the end result that best serves the majority. If we fly with the wind and allow it to take us, it will lead us to where we are needed the most. And if we hoist our sails and navigate using the wind, it will take us to our deepest desires. Either way, the wind will take us to what will become, and that is the will of the majority combined together in spirit. I hope you enjoyed listening to that small excerpt. In the near future, I will be posting more excerpts at www.berlinbrigade.com. I plan on attending the Berlin Red Legs reunion in Clarksville, Tennessee, August 4th to the 7th, 2011, and will be bringing some books along with me. I hope to see you there. My appreciation to Dave Guerrera, founder and creator of www.berlinbrigade.com, for giving us this site to keep our memory alive and for helping us to reconnect with those we served with during our time of duty in West Berlin. It has also given us the chance to create new friendships along the way. My appreciation to you as well, for those who have served and to those who are serving. You have given us the greatest gift of all, the freedom to be who and what we wish to be. May you be blessed with all great things, always and always.
The last of the special announcements is a reminder about the Berlin Red Leg reunion being held this coming August in Clarksville, Tennessee. So if you've not booked your ticket or your room, you better act fast, because as we all know, once momentum starts, there's no stopping the bum rush, and that's exactly what's going to happen. Everybody's going to want to get in, and you'll be someplace else. So again, if you need more information, please visit the Berlin Red Leg Reunion page on Facebook or the 320th Field Artillery website at www.320th Field Artillery Association, all one word, 320th Field Artillery Association.org. For more information, all the information you could possibly need, it's there. Check it out. And you know what? Book your room fast, because they're going. Before I forget, I want to thank everyone that has made a purchase from the commerce page on the website and bought all that cool BerlinBrigade.com gear at Cafe Press. Just a reminder that every purchase that you make helps continue the support, the maintenance, and the upkeep of the BerlinBrigade.com operations here at the BerlinBrigade.com command headquarters. Again, I thank you for your continued support. It certainly goes a long way. It is greatly appreciated. Thanks a lot. And hey, listen, if you've got any ideas on any new gear or something else, let me know. Let me know, and we can knock it out, and we can get it out there and get it available to everybody. So listen, hey, thanks a lot, and you know what? Let's keep moving on.
Take your seats because it's time for a special guest interview.
Joining us today is Yashika Lowe and Trisha Lindsay, and they have this awesome project. For those of you that are on Facebook, you have read a little bit about it on the fan page for the BerlinBrigade.com website, and it's really interesting. But you know what? I'm not going to talk about it. Everybody, welcome Yashika Lowe, Trisha Lindsay to the interview. Ladies, thank you for joining me today. And you know what? I'm going to turn the mic over to you. If you could just give us a brief autobiography, especially what you did to get to Berlin, and then talk to us about what you got going on.
Okay. Well, I'm Yashika, and Trisha, I'm class of 83. Trisha's class of 82. We both attended Berlin American High School. I arrived in the summer of 1980, stayed till the summer of 1983. Trisha, what year did you get there?
I got there in the summer of 1979, I think. And we were there until the summer of 1983 or 84. I'm not sure which of those 2 years.
Okay. And the way I got there is my dad was in the Army. He worked at Andrews Barracks, that's right. And he also was over, he was the mess sergeant there, and he was over the Twiffelsburg mess hall, which was the top secret place. We got to visit to eat there once a year at the Twiffelsburg one because it was a highly guarded secret place up on a hill. And Trisha, your dad was an Army, so I'll let you
know. No, my dad was Air Force. Yeah, my dad was in the Air Force, and we were stationed at Kirtland Air Force Base in New Mexico. And we got his orders in, and I'll never forget, he came home and he told us, well, we have a choice. And I've already, pretty much decided where we're going. And it was very, very, very hard and traumatic on my older sister because she was going to be entering her senior year, and she loved Highland High School, where she was going to, where we were going to high school at that time. She was planning on graduating from there, but he told us he had a choice between Duluth, Minnesota, or Berlin, West Germany. And we were so glad we were going to Berlin and not to Duluth, because it just, the difference in culture, even for teenagers at that time, we knew we were going to have more fun going back overseas and going to a spot like Berlin. And my father was in social actions, and we were going to be stationed at Tempelhof Air Force Base at that time. So we went with her kicking and screaming and crying, basically. And she went from, it was horrible. She went from a graduating class of 3,000 kids, I think it was, down to a graduating class of something like 70.
Yeah.
So it was really difficult.
Berlin American High School was small, and I had come from a 5A school where the graduating class was about 600 to 1,000, I believe. And my graduating class, I did get to graduate from Berlin American High School, was 83, if I remember correctly. And I was really angry at my dad about forcing us to go to Germany. I also went kicking and screaming. I thought my whole world and my whole life was coming to an end. Thankful, but which was ironic because when we were about to leave, I thought my world was coming to an end again because I love Berlin so much, teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
So, as a matter of fact, Trisha and I met at Berlin American High School, and that was the first time I had ever had an Air Force friend because I'd never been stationed anywhere where Air Force and Army was the same place. I had come from Fort Hood, Texas. Most of our time had been spent in Fort Hood, Texas, although we had lived in Germany before. My sister was born in Hanau back in 68, so it wasn't our first time to come to Germany, but first time in Berlin. What else were we, how we met, sports. My mother made me try out for the volleyball team because she said she was tired of me moping around the house, so I'm sorry for myself. So, to the volleyball tryout, I couldn't play volleyball. I had tried out in middle school while I was in Texas and hadn't made it, so I just knew I wasn't going to make it here. But when you go to a very small school, it's pretty easy to make if you're a girl who's tall and lanky. So I made a JV team, and Trisha was on the varsity team, and she was an awesome athlete, and she was so popular, and didn't ever expect to be friends with her because I was a new nerdy underclassman, and we were on a volleyball trip.
It was Osterholz because we had to go up, and usually we went down to the zone, and we had to go
right.
Up. Yeah,
and that's another fascinating aspect of going to school in Berlin is because we lived in West Berlin, which was in East Germany. Then we were it was easier for them to send all our sports teams to the zone in West Germany than to have them all come up to us, which they did come occasionally, but we did most of our weekends. We spent most of our weekends. We left on Thursday night. We didn't come back till Sunday morning, and we'd go out on a train that went through East Berlin at night. East Germany at night, and
East
took
Germany.
It to Frankfurt, the main Bahnhof, and then from there we'd take a bus to whatever city we were going to play volleyball or basketball. And
Or run track.
Mm-hmm. Or run track, right. Or like we had soccer, right, and softball, all kinds of teams, but there was
golf. That's
what we did.
Yeah.
And then golf. And, of course, there were all the school trips when people would go to Russia, et cetera, but always it meant you took the D train out at night because the Soviets didn't want you to see anything secret in the East German sector.
They were very close.
They arrived first thing in the morning on Friday morning, and we would catch the bus to go to whatever school. We would play our games and sleep in a school gymnasium, usually on the floor. And then on Saturday afternoon, we play another set of games. And then on Saturday night, we come back to Frankfurt, ride the train back overnight to Berlin. And then was 5. I think if you came back from Osterholz, Bremerhaven, you got in at 5 in the morning. But if you came from Frankfurt, you got in at 6. I can't remember because, like I said, up. You went up to go to Bremerhaven, Osterholz. You went down to go to Frankfurt and go to all other points. In West Germany. Let's see, what else did we discuss? Oh, our book project. Why we came to write this book project. And also, I guess, how we reconnected, because after you Trisha left and went to the States, but she graduated in 82 to go to college.
I came back over the summer, though. I went to college, and I came back over the summer. And then, you know, it was difficult being away from you all for an entire year at college because you all are doing different things and I was doing something different and I had to come back. And being overseas is different from being in the United States. You're used to, I wouldn't say that there are different types of freedoms based on where you are. And after being free to do what you wanted to do away at college and then coming back home and having to be with your parents and having curfews and all the rest, and then you had high school friends who still had curfews. And it was a really hard adjustment, to say the least. And but being in Berlin, sometimes that makes things a little easier because teenagers are a bit freer in some aspects to go out and just experience different things that you might not necessarily be able to do stateside.
Right.
And you know, it was a different way of life being over in Berlin, I believe, instead of being stationed down in what we used to call the zone, which was the lower part of West Germany at that time, because there were just certain things that you simply could not do. You couldn't go to East Berlin without having the requisite flag orders, and flag orders were documents that just basically said you are permitted to travel from this point to that point during this part, you know, from this time to that time, and you could not have any movement in or outside of West Berlin if you didn't have the primary flag orders to allow you to do that. And so there were some restrictions as to where you could go and whom you could interact with in that aspect. And
Trisha, we talk about the curfew. It's funny because on my end, it was kind of the opposite. Is that while I was in Berlin, my parents didn't give me a real curfew because of that limitation of, you know, you could only be in West Berlin. The government kept you from going any further. So they knew, quote, where I was. I mean, how far could you go? And crime was, I mean, none existed. So they never worried that if I was late out late at night as a young lady that something would happen to me. But when I went, we moved to the U.S., all of a sudden I had a curfew while I was in college because I still lived at home while I was going to college in Colorado because they said it was dangerous.
That is a big difference.
That there was a factor of being safe, even though being you're in the middle of what was considered a political hotspot, you know?
Notice that my curfew was that I had to be home before the sun came up. Now, normally that was an easy thing to do because the sun didn't come up until around 6 in the morning. However, at a certain point in the winter, the sun came up around 3 or 4 in the morning. And that was when it became difficult because, like you said, there was no crime. So we could stay out till, you know, whenever. I remember being out and having breakfast in the morning, you know. But when we reached that winter point, we couldn't do that anymore. And wouldn't you know it, that was when I was home on Christmas break. So, you know, I guess I should quantify what curfew really was. But I think in answer to Dave's question about what made us decide to do this book, I think we were just simply talking on the phone and texting back and forth
and
on Facebook. And we thought, we were starting to lose classmates and we were going to lose their stories and all of those good times that we had with them. And then we realized that we came from a very unique experience growing up in Berlin. And we wanted to preserve some of those memories. And the project branched out from there because we didn't want to leave anyone out from all of the kids that have been stationed at different posts overseas. We have similar stories, but there are different things that are tied in geographically to where it was your parents were stationed. And we wanted those stories. In addition, we had faculty members who are starting to pass away. And we wanted the stories from them to get their perspective on what they went through, because if it was hard on us being over there away from the shores of the United States, how much more difficult might it have been for some of them who had to leave their families over here? You know, all of them didn't bring their families from the United States over to teach us. And they, you know, didn't have the same kind of vacation time that we had. But you know, in the same token, they were adults and could travel more freely. So there are places that they probably went during their downtime that we would never have been able to get to as children unless our parents took us. So, you know, the project grew out of just that type of thinking of how far do we want to take this? And then it was a matter of coming up with the name and the website and designing a website and then getting the word out. And that's when we started going on Facebook and finding organizations like yours, Dave, that could get the word out to overseas brats and faculty members and getting them to send their stories in to us so that we could record them, because these stories aren't just for our benefit. They're also for the benefit of other kids that are coming along behind us. We have one of the largest deployments in modern history at this time, and we have a lot of children who are still traveling with their parents, but even more so, a lot of them are stateside and their parents are overseas engaged due to wartime operations. And we would just like to be able to give them something to hang on to help them through some of the tough spots that they may encounter. Because we didn't have a manual. We didn't have anyone to tell us that what we were going through was not a unique experience that only we were going through. And that made it so much harder feeling alone until, you know, you got to different bases and posts where you could talk to people. And even then, you didn't talk about these type of things, did you, Sheik?
No, and then actually I found that one of the ways I've reconnected to many of my brat friends is through the Berlin Brats Alumni Association, because before then, when I would try to talk to people who hadn't been a brat, they didn't understand what I was talking about and or care a lot of times. They'll smile and nod, but they really don't understand. And I remember attending my first reunion in 99 in Breckenridge. We have our reunions every 2 to 3 years, it depends. Now I think we're back to 3 years, but in different places, East Coast, West Coast. And every time when I went to that reunion, it was eye-opening. I felt like, wow, these people know what I'm talking about. They understand the whole idea of Berlin. And we talk for hours and hours into the night about our experiences. And I remember even back then thinking it would be great if we could write this down. But, you know, I was, you know, raising children. My kids were much younger. And then I went to every reunion after that because of it. And now my kids are older. Trisha's just graduated her first one. I've graduated too. I have two that are in high school. So it's kind of also that time of life where we can really seriously consider doing what probably has been in the back of our minds all along, is that someone needs to write this down and consider sharing this in our common history with other people. As a matter of fact, we had also wanted, along the lines of faculty and people who were important to the Berlin experience, to interview. We were able to get Colonel Gil Halverson, the candy bomber, to agree to give us some information for our book. He's given me quite a bit of written material to include and pictures. And we were really excited about that because this story needed to be told.
Well,
so
are you
pretty excited about that part? Tricia, did you say something?
Yeah, we also have been posting stories. Yeah, so we've also been posting stories on our website, on a blog, to pique interest. And one of them was that we posted right before Christmas was from a young lady who had grown up and was going through a period, I guess when you turn like maybe 16, 17, where you know, you start questioning a lot of different things that are going on with you, and you start going through a little bit of a hard time of, just being a teenager, and you're starting to separate from your parents and things along that line. And she sent us her story in, and it was a perfect, absolutely perfect story for Christmas time, and we put it up on our blog, and I'm trying to get my blog to come up here. And I can't get it to come up. Chica, what was the name of her story, of Sylvia's story?
A Light in the Window?
A Light in the Window?
A Light in the Window.
Yeah.
So you just have to go to the www.bratsoverseas.com and click on blog, and it's there, actually. Mm-hmm. It also has some other stories we've posted, and we're about to post a story next week of a brat whose mother was also a teacher at our school, who helped with smuggling things over to the east and helping escape a lady defect from East Berlin. And of course, it was a story that couldn't be told years ago because it was a secret and classified information. But it also is a pretty riveting story, and we're going to post that next week. And just the exciting story that people have been sending us, and we know there's a lot more out there, and we've been pushing for people to take the time. This will be a perfect week to do that because a lot of people are off of work, to sit down and write down the stories that I've had people tell me, even at reunions and gatherings that we've had. They'll tell me a great story, and I think we need to write that down. So I'm hoping that they'll hear this and decide to write it down and send it to us.
Sure. Mm-hmm. So, Dave, what was your experience at Berlin Brigade, and what years were you there, actually? Because at one point, I worked at Berlin Brigade for like a summer hire type experience, and I think Yashika, did you work over there, too?
I worked at headquarters, Cleale, one summer. I think it was the summer.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah. We both did summer hire work there. And I think that if we can get the kind of coverage and get everyone to come in and contribute their stories, the more that we can put the word out that we need these stories to come in, and you have to submit them through the website. If you walk through the website, it's very intuitive, and it's very easy to bring up the form where you would submit your story. And I think if we can get as many entries as possible, it would make things go a lot further for us completing this project. We don't have a completion date at this time, but we're trying to get the bulk of the stories in within the next 6 months, if possible. And you can submit not just your stories, but you can also submit pictures, up to 5 pictures, I believe it is. Is that right, Sheik?
10 pictures if you're from Berlin, 5 pictures if it's overseas, just for there to be more people from more countries for the overseas book. But for Berlin, that's a smaller community, so we set the max at 10 per person.
Okay.
And we've got pretty good pictures so far. But we need a lot more.
Wow.
We need a lot more.
Can y'all share the address? I'm sorry, y'all, you're mentioning it. It sounds interesting, but the address.
I'll repeat it. www.bratsoverseas.com. And there's a blog on there. There's also the place where you can submit stories. So it's bratsoverseas.com. And like Tricia says, an intuitive website is easy to figure out where you would submit the story if you're a faculty or if you're a student. And also to read the blog of stories that have already been submitted.
Wow, sounds very interesting. So not to pressure, and I know you said you don't know, but I mean, do you have kind of like a by when you would like to have this project completed, or at least the book in its format?
Well, I know when I would like to have it completed in its book format, and that is before our next reunion, our next Berlin Bratz reunion will be. Is it in July of 2012?
Yes, it's the 4th of July weekend of 2012 in Washington, D.C., and we would love to have it ready, totally in its final format to have it that reunion. That would be the optimum for us. We've been told before that books always take longer than you expect, but we would like for that to be when we have it published, ready, bound, ready to go.
Ready to go. That's the date that I have in mind. And, you know, I'm glad to know that, you know, with us working together that we can probably make that deadline. We just need as many stories as possible. And we've even published on Facebook, and I just may hang that on site also, some story suggestions to get people started. Just, you know, I don't want you to think or want submitters to think that your story has to be completely polished and it has to be something that has a great wow factor. We are looking for just basic experiences that you may have had on a sports trip or when you traveled somewhere or an incident that may have happened in school or just something that you came to find out about yourself while you were stationed overseas. An interaction that you might have had with someone who was from the area when you were stationed overseas, your thoughts as you came and went from overseas, anything that you think may be relevant to your experience of being an overseas brat, we want those stories. So we can do some editing on them. Don't feel pressed to have them completely polished up. Just get them to us with your pictures.
Right, and I've had people say I'm not a good writer, and Tricia's a published author. I write a lot. I write curriculum. I'm a teacher, and we can take the story. It's just that we need the actual story because it's each person's individual story. We can make it look good. And then really the biggest, I believe that the biggest obstacle to having that book ready by 2012 is the lack of submissions. We're not getting enough to have a book of the size that we think would be appealing and worth writing. If we only have, for instance, 50 submissions, that's not enough to write a book that gives the details that we would like to have. I mean, because the fact that because for the Berlin book specifically, we want to write a section for each of the decades that Berlin, the U.S. forces were occupying Berlin. So we have a 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s section. Well, you need a lot more than 50 stories for that, so that each of those years is rounded out and gives you a perspective on how things changed. Because from decade to decade, I know I went to the Berlin. We had a Berlin reunion in Berlin in 2006, and the head of our organization, Jerry Glass, had a panel where she chose a different person to speak from each of the most recent decades. So that would be 70s, 80s, 90s, and I think 60s. And when we discussed just certain typical things about how easy or hard it was to go over to the East, that had changed over the decades. How Berliners saw us in each decade, like the earlier decades, the Germans were very friendly and happy to have them there. I know by the time when we were there in the 80s, a lot of them were resentful, ready for us to leave. They felt like they no longer needed us there. So we had different experiences in different decades. So that's why it's important to have stories from every decade. And right now, most of our submissions have been from the 70s. And we thought being 80s brats ourselves that we'd get more 80s. We haven't had any. So we are begging people to please submit their stories.
Yeah. I hate for them to assume that we've got enough because we don't, and that their story isn't relevant because it is, and they just have to take the time to sit down, write them out, and send them to us because we really do need your stories. Don't assume that, well, they can do without my one because they've got, you know, so many coming from this or that area. Actually, we need all of your stories, so please. Take the time to sit down and compile something and send it in to us. It only takes a moment. And I think based on all that the military did for us for such a long length of time, and I think because of that, we can take a little bit of time of our own to sit down and write out a story that may one day help someone else as they're struggling to try to come to grips with the fact that here we go. I just got settled. I have my friends here. And this can't be happening again. It's already time to move. It came up on me so suddenly. And, you know, just to let some young kid out there know that they're not alone in feeling that they don't want to pack their stuff up and go again. You know, that's really one of the major reasons I wanted to get involved and start this writing venture, because I remember feeling very alone each time we got ready to move. And like clockwork, here it came. And I don't know if that was the way it was for you, Yashika, but that's how I felt a lot of the times. Just as I would get settled, here it was time to go.
Yeah, I got tired of moving, but at the same time, I didn't know anything else. And it was part of our lives, but that part of our lives that you is the sacrifice you made. This is the choice you've chosen to do, and it's what we do. But yeah, I used to dread it every time because it always seems like right when I made friends, it was time to move again.
Yeah, it's time to go.
Wow. So it sounds like a very ambitious project and not one that's being taken lightly or well, you know, sometimes those are okay too, to dive into the deep end and then just see what happens, see who floats and see who sinks. But, wow, very interesting. If you care to share with the listeners, where the both of you are located right now, and aside from the webpage, is there some other way they can get a hold of you? And are you doing anything on a local level to kind of gather more information, more on a face-to-face, person-to-person kind of thing, and moving away from the web a little bit, or the internet?
I'm in Houston, Texas. Trisha, where?
I'm in Clinton, Maryland. And let me see. I lost your second question, Dave. I think that one of the things that we recently did, we had some older faculty members that wanted to submit, but they were having trouble getting their information on the internet. So we actually sent out a list of information to them. And we don't have a problem with sending information to anyone. And then if you would like us to interview you via telephone, or if you're in an area that's close to where we could get to you, like the Washington, D.C., Virginia area, we would not be adverse to coming out and doing an interview with you.
Right.
And I think that outside of that, the next step would be to actually go online and find organizations that are military organizations in the area and see if we could, in some kind of way, make contact with them and perhaps do the same thing that we're doing with you, Dave, either a podcast or meet up with them to do an interview based on whatever type of mechanism it is they have in place to get the word out for us. But we're still at the very beginning stages of planning, so there's still a lot that we have to learn. And both Yashik and I tend to, if we see a project that needs to be taken care of, we just dive into it and get started. And we learn a lot as we're going along. And when it's done in that manner, you tend to get a lot done, but there are always going to be gaffes involved. So we're trying to keep those things to a minimum, but just it's a learning curve. And we're just trying to get out there and take the next step. And some of it is intuitive, and some of it we're just going to have to learn as we go along. So any information or areas that you could give us assistance in, Dave, we would deeply appreciate that. We deeply appreciate you having us on your show and helping us to get the word out, because it wasn't until we were able to reach out to you on Facebook that we were able to do that. And people can reach us on Facebook either at Tricia Lindsay Author, or she could give them your Facebook address if you want, and the one that you set up for our fan page too, if you could do that.
Well, we have an email address that's dedicated to the book, and that's brettoverseas@yahoo.com. So if anybody has questions, they can send it to that email. If you're on Facebook, you go to Brett's Overseas Book Project, and we have a fan page. And that page, if you like it, if you hit the like button on there, then you'll get updates, because I update that page regularly, as well as letting people know when a new story's been added to the blog. We also, in order to reach out to the faculty community, just put in an ad that will come out in next month in the American Overseas Schools Historical Society's newsletter, announcing this project and asking people to submit their stories. We all will be putting an ad in next quarter's newsletter of the Overseas Brat newsletter. There is one coming out in the Berlin Brat newsletter, and still looking for different newsletters that I can submit to, and everywhere on the net that I could find, and telling friends to tell friends. And then, as Tricia said, we have actually mailed out letters to the people that we found addresses for from earlier years to ask them to submit their stories. That's how we got Colonel Bill Haverson's information, and he actually is online, because after we sent the letters, we started emailing back and forth, and he's been sending us information. So, yeah, we've been trying to make ourselves available in various ways and get the word out, but we just launched our website last month, so we know in 1 month's time, it was on November 15th, so it's been just over a month. We know that in that short period of time, there are still going to be a lot of people who haven't heard about the project, but we do think that if we just keep plugging away and reminding people to remind other people, then we will get the word out.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It sounds. I think that's pretty much all the information that we have for you, Dave, at this point. And I hope that we can keep checking back in with you as frequently as possible to keep you updated on how things are going. And anyone who needs any information from us, feel free to reach out to us in whatever capacity it is that's easiest for you. And we will try to get back to you as quickly as possible and answer any questions that you might have and assist you in submitting to us. And that same thing goes for parents of children who are no longer with us. If there's information about stories from your children, I think we could make a special circumstance and allow you to submit those at our site.
I also just remembered something else. I'm going to be in Berlin in March for a week, and I was told by one of the 40s classmates that they are going to have a mini reunion in Berlin, and it happens to be that week that I'm going to be there. So I do plan to do personal interviews of the people, all the people who allow me that are there, and they're from the first class of Berlin American High, and they're from right after the war. So we're pretty excited about that because that's some history that we're really interested in getting written down. And besides that, again, we're just playing it by ear and continuing to just plug away at it.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, all I can recommend on your trip to Berlin is take a voice recorder because, wow, that's really it. You'll need that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll definitely, you can knock out a lot of interviews real quick and then, yeah. So without a doubt, that's my recommendation. Oh, wow. So again, we've been talking to Yashika Lowe and Tricia Lindsay. And folks, don't worry. We're going to get all the links online. And they're going to be on our links page. And again, if you're a fan on the fan page at Facebook, we've had some postings there already. And I'm more than sure Yashika or Tricia or both of them or everybody that's involved will post again. They're more than welcome to post any updates on our fan page, as is everybody else who is a member of the fan page. So, again, yeah, we look forward to y'all keeping us posted. And if y'all need anything specifically, basically, we deal with the parents, and that's over at BerlinBrigade.com, and that's just the way it works.
Right.
But again, you know, I'm more than sure parents still talk to their kids, and I'm more than sure kids will listen to their parents no matter how old they are. So, you know, to some degree, we have our moments. But again, we'll get the word out, and we'll do everything we can. This sounds like an awesome project and another book project. Lately, that's what we've been interviewing here at the podcast is a lot of authors, and because there is a need for those stories and those words to get out to everybody and to be shared. And yes, it definitely does help. I don't know if y'all have talked to Donna Musel.
I heard her on. She was on BratCon Radio.
Yes.
And I heard her story. Yes.
Yeah, and well, we did an interview with her and really good stuff with her. And yeah, and her mission and what she's got to say is like right on exactly with what y'all are talking about, and it makes no sense and it is timely. So that is very good thing.
I'm hoping to get an interview with her too.
Oh yeah, definitely, Doctor. Yeah, she's on there. She's posted on there. Just follow her links. I know that we put some links up on the fan page, or some postings have happened on the fan page. So again, just follow her, talk to her, drop her a note. She's really very receptive, especially to anything brat-wise.
Right.
Okay.
Very receptive.
Thanks.
Yeah, no, without a doubt. And I'll drop her a note, letting her know that to expect a message from one or both of you or everybody. She's very good about that. It was an awesome interview I had with her. We spent like – it was supposed to be like an hour like this, but no, I think we ended up talking like 3 hours altogether.
Wow.
But if you guys get a chance, check out the movie too. You can rent it on YouTube. It can be rented. And
They showed it at our reunion.
Oh, they did. Oh, okay. So you've seen
last summer. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And I know that the military channel's been trying to show it, and every time it even pops up on our TV guide thing, the digital thing, it shows that it's going to air, and then all of a sudden it just changes to something else. So I guess there's some rights issues that they're having.
Yeah, I was trying to do that. I was trying to U-verse it myself because I wanted to show it to my kids, and I remember the same thing happened. We weren't able to see it, and I didn't realize that that's what happened.
So I don't know exactly what the deal was behind it, but typically they say when stuff like that happens, it's because of a rights issue as opposed to they got a bad copy. Well, usually they send like two or three copies.
Right.
So beats me, but
that'll
it's out there. It's really cool. Let's see what else. Okay. Well, I guess now we ask the fun questions. What's the one thing you miss most about Berlin or Germany or really Berlin? What's the most you miss? What is the thing you miss the most?
How would you go first, Tricia?
You know, I think it would be the safety and the freedom because, you know, I don't know if it's like that now, but I believe that my own children have missed out on so much because they simply haven't been allowed to roam and explore like we were because of the safety factor here in the United States. And I think that's one thing that I really miss the most out of every part of being over there, knowing that I could step out of my door in the morning, and if I didn't come back in until 10 o'clock, my parents weren't sending out a search party within 2 hours. And it's, you know, that I think that's one of the things that has really stricken me over the years, of a loss of the type of freedom of safety and innocence that we had living overseas. And I don't know if that was prevalent for all of West Germany or all of Europe, but I tend to think that it was, because I remember that same feeling when we lived in Spain when I was much, much younger. And other than that, the food. I miss the currywurst. I can't lie. I miss the currywurst at the end of the stand. I can't get over that. So those are my two things that I miss.
I miss the public transportation, because it actually ties into that freedom thing. Is I live in Texas and I live in Houston, and everything is so far away, and public transportation is very bad here. You have mm-hmm. a few buses, but for those who live in the suburb, there's not that at all. So my children, if they can't drive themselves to something, I have to drive them to it. And I know I've been back to Berlin 2002, 2006, and now I'm going to get to go in 2011. And each time I've been reminded of how easy it is to just go catch the bus or the U-Bahn. And when your kids are old enough, you can have them go do that too, and they don't have to worry that they don't have a driver's license, or that it's not safe for them to go somewhere and drive themselves. And of course, wear me out with four children, getting them to all the places that they need to go to. So I really do miss that about Berlin, because it was great to have that freedom that you could go and do what you need to do without being a burden to your parents. I guess the second thing, which I don't think I actually appreciated the first time, I actually started having an appreciation for this the last two times I visited, was the architecture. It's incredible, the architecture and the history. And I feel like as a teenager, I didn't appreciate it as much while I was there. I have a good friend who still lives in Berlin, and that's who my husband and I stay with when we go to visit. And he kind of opened my eyes to that in 2002 when he took us around, seeing all the different things, and then tying the history into it that I knew, but didn't know. Again, you know, you're a teenager, it's like, yeah, I know. This is, you know, this is where Hitler's bunker is, or this is the Brandenburg Gate, and some of those things, as you get older, you appreciate them more. And each time I go back to visit, I appreciate the historical and architectural facets of Berlin so much more. It's an incredible city, and I always knew it was an incredible city, but I think that I appreciate it in a different way now as an adult than I did as a teenager. So I miss that too.
Wow. Well, very interesting. And yeah, it's everybody takes away their own piece of Berlin, and they really can associate with what it is, what it was, and what it will be. And and I think that's what draws us back.
Mm-hmm.
Because it becomes part of who we are, and we became part of it. What's the right answer? Well, pretty cool. Well, listen, it's been great talking, everybody, and I thank you for joining us today here. And right here,
thank you for having us.
We're right here in this week, everybody. We're recording. Oh, you're welcome. We're recording this interview the week between Christmas and New Year, and it's one of those awesome times we could find. It's a great time of the year, and it's an awesome time to find and have a great conversation. And I know that when we put this up online, it won't be that. It won't be this week, but it's nice to sit back and remember, hey, we had a great time during that holiday week, and that made it that much special. So again, Yoshika, Tricia, thank you very much for sharing with us. And again, like I said, you're more than welcome to come back onto the podcast as soon as things start shaping up and things start really taking off. We'd love to have you back on and talk more about what's coming up. And obviously, as soon as the book is published, we want you all back on here.
Okay.
Oh. Please, we really would. And keep us posted on how things are going. And if, like I said, you need anything, let me know. We'll get you on here. Okay. We'll get a quick one. And that one will go out a little faster than this one will. But, again, I thank you very much. We've been joined by Yoshika Lowe, Berlin American High School graduate, 1983. And Tricia Lindsay, Berlin American High School graduate, also, 1983?
Yeah.
1982.
Oh, there we go. Sorry, I had the years kind of – I wrote them all down, but I didn't write down the graduating years. But they were there. They were in Berlin, and they had fun, and we had a lot of fun talking to them today. And again, thank you very much, and we'll talk to you all real soon.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you, Dave. Bye-bye.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Again, a great big BerlinBrigade.com thank you to Yoshika Lowe and Tricia Lindsay for talking to us about their time in Berlin and their very special Berlin Brats project. We wish them all the best of luck. Well, listen, the time has come to wrap up another episode of the BerlinBrigade.com podcast. And as always, I invite you to call and leave a voice message or an audio comment on the BerlinBrigade.com hotline at 413-274-4233. That's 413-BRIGADE. Also, don't forget, you can always send us comments, concerns, questions, show ideas to dave@berlinbrigade.com. Also, if you or someone you know has something to share with us, please drop me a note at dave@berlinbrigade.com, and we'll set up a date and a time for an interview, and before you know it, you're on the show. I also invite you to stay up to date with the latest at berlinbrigade.com by following us on Twitter at www.twitter.com/berlinbrigade, all one word. Also, be sure to check out the BerlinBrigade.com Cinchcast at the new internet address for Cinch, and that's www.cinch.fm/BerlinBrigade. Again, BerlinBrigade's all one word. And we got periodic quick site updates and other information I'll post up there. I haven't been doing it as much lately, but now that summer's in full swing, I'll start doing it again. But that's not all you can do. You can also do to what close to 1,300 of our fellow Berlin Brigade veterans, members, supporters, fans, and what they've done. And that's to join us on the BerlinBrigade.com fan page on Facebook. And you can do that quickly and easily by following the links on the BerlinBrigade.com homepage. All of us invite you to come and join all the great Facebook conversations we're having, like those that John G. Cobb, Jim Hanula, Doris Eck, Willard Jones, and many others are having. So come on over. Join our conversation. It's awesome. Have a great time there on Facebook. Lastly, I want to take a moment to say domo arigato, merci beaucoup, spasiba, thank you, and vielen dank to all the website visitors this past month from over 40 different countries such as Poland, Japan, Australia, France, Canada, Denmark, the United Kingdom, the United States, and of course, Germany. I do hope you've enjoyed your visit to Freedom's Virtual Outpost, and we hope you come back real soon. Well, everyone, that's it for the 31st edition of the BerlinBrigade.com podcast. I am your host, David Guerra. Thank you for spending this time with me, and I continue our never-ending quest for the key to the clock tower. So if you have it, or you know who does, you know, just drop me a note. It's, you know, still looking, but it doesn't hurt. You know, I'm not going to give up. So until next time, goodbye. Auf Wiedersehen. Tschüss.
Sergeant Major, dismiss the brigade! The BerlinBrigade.com podcast is a Dave Guerra production. Thank you.